Diamante Orchestra is ready to come to your event and play music of the season. We'll customize a playlist that's perfect for you, whether it be a dance band, concert, or dinner music. Diamante Trio members Paula Tuttle, Mary Beth Malik, and Juan Jaramillo, with our arranger and trumpet player Ralph Guzzi, in addition to our bassist Brian Stahursky, our pianist Kevin Clark, and our drummer George Pirelli, are ready to delight and entertain your guests. Visit our website at pittsburghfestivalorchestra.org/Diamante_orchestra to hear more. And contact us at pittsburghfestivalorchestra@gmail.com. There are some things that are measurable and don't rely on born talent. Two of those are swimming and memorization. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and I'm here to tell you that memorization in music is something everyone can do and improve with some technique. Today we'll explore it from a couple of directions. So I'm borrowing this from Daniel Chambliss's paper called The Mundanity of Excellence, and I first read about it in Seth Godin's bestseller, The Practice. It talks about swimmers, competitive swimmers to be exact. As it turns out, it's technique and training that's required to win at competitive swimming, not inherited strength or build or DNA. It's something anyone can do, and competitively, it's not up to the opinion of judges like skating or, say, a violin competition either. It's just time. Who's the fastest? So as sports goes, it's one of the greatest. But I don't agree that bodies don't matter. Michael Phelps's body gave him an edge. His hands were larger and they moved more water. And the legs that were longer were like bigger fins. So in this case, his body gave him some help. But I concur that those that learn better technique swim faster. Longer hours of practice might not increase speed if their technique is inferior. Technique increases the speed, and anyone with the commitment and the desire can increase their speed. Past that point, extra hours of practice doesn't really matter. If you're like me, you're asking, is there a parallel to studying an instrument? Well, let's see. So we ask, are there outliers in memory? And there are memory championships, but they've found that anyone can learn to do it, and you do not have a better brain for memorization than anybody else. The hippocampus is where the memories lie. There's lots and lots of scientific evidence that point to the fact that memorization can be learned, and it can be learned at any age. There's no use-by date on the brain. It's not one of the parts of the body that stop working at its best because of aging. It stays strong throughout one's life if they take care of it, exercise it, and use it wisely. But if you're healthy, active, and continue to engage, your brain will do well for all your days. The competitions for memorization involve memorizing long strings of numbers or long strings of decks of cards or anything that you want. And the technique that they talk about is much the same Chambliss talks about swimming. Memorization can be taught, technique will improve it, and past a certain point, the time spent is only marginally helpful. This sounds familiar to musicians too. So memorization, like swimming, can be both learned and measured. And they say anyone, yes, anyone can do it. So here's the time-tested method, and it even has a name. You may have heard of it. It's called the Memory Palace, and it's been around for a very long time. In the hippocampus in our brain lives the spatial memory, and you can use it by imagining a palace or a house or anything that has specific parts that you can identify. So a tree wouldn't work, for example, because the different branches look like other branches. But say your house has recognizable places you can imagine. So here's how it works. You shuffle a deck of cards, and you want to remember the order of the cards. So you take your first card, and you go through your door. Now, I use the door to my house where I grew up, because I can picture it in my mind. And you imagine hanging that first card on the door. Then you move into the room, and on the right is my closet, so I hang a card there. Maybe I open the closet, I put a card on the shelf, I put a card on a hanger, or I put a card on a hook. And then I close the door and I move through the room and start putting things in different places. You want to have the same order every time. That's how it's done. If you use this technique a few minutes on the first day and 10 minutes on the second day, and maybe 30 minutes on the third day, just keep increasing your sessions each day, you will be able to do this trick as well as anyone else. So for a list that's really finite, like memorizing the American presidents, you might use your body, your feet, your knees, your hips, and work your way up. Or use your memory palace. A lot of people will use the body for certain things. Remembering what they're getting at the market could be a short list. One for the left foot, one for the right foot, one for the left knee, one for the right knee. Work your way up. In fact, this is probably a good idea because some real tasks to help you with learning the method might be the thing that keeps you going. Okay, so it's nice to know about this memory palace, and it's nice to know that anyone can become a champ. But we as musicians, we use oral memory and muscle memory. And the memory palace in the hippocampus is really about the visual. We learn memory early on in our life, and we have all kinds of places in our brain that we use. The last thing to remember about the memory palace is that it really does depend on your interest and your desire. If you're not interested in memorizing, it's harder to do it. And it's not about talent or brain size. So there you go. So both with memorization and swimming, if you have friends helping you, if you get involved in some kind of society, it gets easier. Lynn Kelly wrote a book called Memory Craft, and she talks about more methods to improve the technique. It might be a good way to improve your music memorization. She also wrote a book called Knowledge and Power of Prehistoric Societies, a book that says people used to use landscape as a memory palace, and that Stonehenge and standing stones in ancient cultures were used for oracity, a way to pass down knowledge before literacy was invented. She named herself the Memory Whisperer since she discovered the real purpose of these artifacts in the ancient world. So getting back to music. Jocelyn Swigger made a wonderful TED Talk. I'll post the link in the show notes at accelerandocast.com. It's about how she memorizes music, and I really loved everything she said. I recognize all the steps she lays out, and there are four methods, and each leads to learning and assimilating a piece of music. And she demonstrates sitting at a piano while a screen for PowerPoint displays a few bars of music, supporting her step-by-step explanation. Just so I can be of help here, they are visual memory, oral memory, muscle memory, analytical memory. How it looks, how it sounds, how it feels, and how it's shaped. But what you have to take away from this is that all of these methods require a desire to memorize. If you don't, it just won't work. The sessions that don't have those, they spiral out of control until the player just needs to stop. Maybe the best thing to do is find some inspiration and begin again. So when Jocelyn laid out the four steps, I felt the muscle memory part could have been reinforced. Especially when I perform Bach by memory, I like to practice a method where I jump two bars and memorize the piece that way. Play two, skip two, play two, skip two. It really strengthens my memory faster than anything else. It's a technique I learned when I was 19 years old, and it has always served me well. I've also done what Jocelyn says about the harmonic analysis, and this is another very important step, and another one of those steps that nobody wants to do, but you know you should. I like to take it and combine it with the skip every two bars method. And for the visual method she talks about, I've heard of musicians strengthening this by writing down their part by memory. And I think this works. Can you write down every note, every dynamic, every bowing? If you're going to perform a concerto, this might be really helpful, but you might only want to do it once. So I hope you'll check out her TED Talk. It really is interesting, and I liked so much about it. I want to get back to the thing I said about the use it or lose it factor in our brain. If you perform something by memory, something really difficult, let's say a Bach suite, in front of an audience, you will have actually strengthened your brain. And there's lots of evidence about this. But why not go try it yourself? After completing the feat of performing by memory, test your memory in the days following, in the weeks following. Play the same thing by memory, or just see if other daily tasks show improvement. Give it a try. Well, that's it for this week, and I hope you'll check the show notes at accelerandocast.com. There will be some links about the TED Talks and the books that I mentioned on this podcast. Have a great week, and see you next time. Thank you. Don't be a Grinch. Have the Diamante Orchestra make your event the talk of the town. You can email us at pittsburghfestivalorchestra@gmail.com for information about booking.